we've got a guest appearance. No, not really a guest appearance. A family member that's just bringing the word today. You all know Chris very well. And it's just, I've been so blessed by what he's just spoken into my life and into Edna's life and into this church this last 2 years. And I want to honor him, not because I have to, not because this is the moment that we honor Chris. I just noted in that song that I always have a reason to worship, always have a reason to sing, always have a reason to worship. And that can be so evident of his life. You might not know his story, but he's had a couple of hard knocks in life, a couple of ashes, more than one would imagine at his age. Yet, he can stand here today and bring a word, and I know his heart, and I've seen his fruit out of a place of love. And that, for that, I want to honor you. Jy het harde tackles en harde knocks al gekry, maar ons honor jou dat jy nog staan. En ons weer is Christus in jou. Maar ergens along the way, moes jy 'n paar keer jou hart net sag hou vir die Here, en daarvoor honor ons jou. Blessed is he who is not offended by me, sê Jesus. En ek neem aan, baie keer die lewe is bietjie rof, en ek wil net sê, you will be blessed. En ek wil net daai scripture net vir jou gee, net, blessed is he who is not offended by me. Because the road of God, the road of Christ is not always easy. It is always amazing and a blessing, but it's not always easy. And we can see the fruit of that in his life. So I have your bed. Here, thank you net for the voorreg for Chris. Thank you, Lord, that he's truly a son in your house, not only in this church, but in your house. Thank you, Father God, for the grace on his life. And thank you, Father God, that you've been with him through every knock and every tackle. But thank you that he's standing strong and that you are strong in him. Your word is clear. Let the weak say, I'm strong. So thank you. We boast not in his strength, but the Christ that he serves, the one that he follows. Thank you, Lord, that the greater is he that lives in Christ than he that lives in this world. So we are honored to receive his gift today as a congregation. And I ask a blessing and your protection, your hand over him and Lindy and family, Lord. In Jesus' name. May he enjoy it above all today with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We look forward.
Thank you, Latif. Always such kind words. Yo, good morning, everybody. I think, yes, we've prayed and worshipped. Wow, awesome, awesome, awesome. Even last night with passion. But I think, guys, mind if we do something a little bit different? And Retief, sorry, you need to join me here, but I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to share with you guys a little bit about my life and how the road I've walked with the Lord. And we're just going to have a bit of a Bible study. So I'm going to untuck my shirt. I'm going to get all relaxed, and I want you guys to get out your notepad and your, you know, scribbles, and you can kick your feet, you know, your shoes off. This is a time to relax in the Lord. I can call my quickies by my car cry. We had to say a long prayer, okay? Don't worry, guys. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to tell you guys a little bit about me. Some of you guys know me, but just please, if I do something irritating or something weird, just forgive me now. I just want to give you guys a little bit of background so you know sort of, you know, where I'm coming from. And I'm going to take it way back. My grandfather, who wasn't saved. And supernaturally, the Lord saved my father in a dream thanks to the prayers of my mother. And it was 30 years of full-time ministry where they poured their hearts out to the Lord. And I'm so grateful that I also got the opportunity to go full-time into ministry in 2006. And it was just an amazing to follow in those footsteps and just to be in the will of the Lord. And unfortunately, life happens, things happen, and that season ended for me. I ended up going sailing all over the world for 5 years, which sounds great, but I was so far from the Lord. But the amazing thing was, he was always with me, though. He wasn't far. And there were times where I chose to be away from the Lord, but he never left me, not once, not once. I can keep you guys busy all night with near-death experiences and how the Lord actually saved me and protected me, because I believe He wanted me to be here. And this is why I'm standing here, because the Lord has protected me and because He's been with me and He's with each and every one of you. So if we can, yes, okay, we've got the slide there. So let's get into the Word. So get your notepads out, get your Bibles out, get your groove on. So if we can go to the first slide, we're opening up in the book of Ephesians. Let's wait for our technical support over there. Don't worry, I'll start reading it for you guys. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19. Now it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that is in the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, some of you might have heard this scripture before, and for a long time, I've never read this one. I must have skimmed through it and never stopped to actually try and experience what's going on. What is the Lord trying to tell me? And sure, it's Valentine's Day, so the theme of love, but that's not the focus. The focus is that Christ's love for us. How much does the Lord really love us? Do we really know that? Is it possible to know? And I think this scripture is a little bit of a key, a little bit of a hint of how and how much. So let's take it back to verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, what does that mean? Christ he dwells where? In our hearts. So that means He's an inhabitant of our hearts. How does He become an inhabitant of our hearts? He needs to get in. How does He get in? What is the doorway to our hearts? It's faith. So if we have faith, it opens up the door. Christ comes in and He inhabits our hearts. Isn't this amazing? So if there's no faith, then it means He can't come in. So He's standing outside the door, waiting. The amazing thing is that faith admits the Lord into the soul, into our hearts. And then an amazing thing happens. It submits to Him. And it becomes like Him. So let's go to the next part of the verse. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. So what does that mean? I mentioned that the path that the Lord has taken me, but He's brought me into this community where I needed to be planted. I need to let my roots go in. And what happens to a plant when it gets planted? The roots go in, starts growing. What happens next? Fruit. It starts sharing with everything around it. So it's the same with us as a Christian. You know, you can be all over the show, and it's all great. But as soon as you get planted, you start growing in the Lord. And you start producing fruit. And you start sharing that with the community, with the people around you. And what does it say? Being grounded in love. So it means you need to be in one place. Doesn't mean the Lord can't send you somewhere, or the Lord can't use you to go here and there and the other place. But you always need to be grounded somewhere. And that's where true love really starts coming into its own. The next part, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So who's these saints? Is it a 1970s spy? You know, is it these guys that, you know, or pictures of them have been painted in Catholic churches? The Greek word, or if we go back to the Greek for the word, and forgive me for any Greek people here for my pronunciation, agazio, whatever that is the Greek word for saint. And what it means to be set apart. Now, if Jesus becomes an inhabitant in our heart, then we're already set apart. Because all of a sudden, we're not a citizen of earth anymore. We're a citizen of heaven. We're one of His children. It also means to be sanctified. When He's in our heart, when we've, through faith, opened the door, when we've made the decision for Jesus, He sanctified us at the cross through his blood that he shed for us. The next part is that it means is to make holy. Now, I'm sure none of us can stand here and say we're holy, but with Jesus inside of us, he is holy, and we need to strive to be like him. And I do believe that in a sense, we do become more like Christ, and holiness is part of that. So let's look at the next section. What is the width and length, depth and height to know the love of Christ? This is interesting. Four dimensions. What is the Lord trying to tell us here? I think we need a bit of a practical illustration. If I can pick on our lovely pastor and his wife. And I think we're going to take it from this side. Can you measure the love that you have for your husband? But you need to try to. Come on, you need to give us something, you know, for the entertainment value. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't bring one long enough. Aye.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome, thank you. Thanks, guys. Okay, so it's Othel. Let's give him a hand. So it's impossible. We can't measure. Now imagine God's love for us. If we can go to the next slide, let's just break this down. Let's look at the first one. The width. Now the key word that comes up for me is never ending. Love encompasses all of mankind. Now, what is the definition of width, the distance or measure from side to side of something? Now, don't you think it's amazing that the Lord made the earth round? Because if you have width, never ends. There's no end to a side, it just keeps going. So that's a physical illustration of the Lord's love. So he's saying, I love you as much as something is wide and it's never ending. If you can go to the next slide. The next one is length. Sorry, I know that's a little bit light, but everlasting. Another definition for length is similar to width, but the other dimension, the horizontal dimension, but also the amount of time occupied by something. So there's no time in God's love. It's never ending. It's everlasting. There's no time limit. You know, there's no stopwatch. If we go to the next one, depth. Now the first thing that came up was suffering. Jesus died at the cross for us. It was an agonizing death. He went through deep waters for us, if I can use the term. What does depth mean? The distance from the top or surface to the bottom of something. Going right to the bottom, that's how much. If we go to the next one, the height. Now the first word that pops up is heaven. You know, this is because Jesus is inside of our hearts. This is the reward. This is the thing we can look forward to. We live on earth, but we are not citizens of this world. We live to a higher calling. We're part of a kingdom. And if we look at the next part of the verse, we can actually go, it's fine. Stay right there. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that first section, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is a bit of a paradox, because how do you know something that's beyond what you can know? We on earth, it's all about knowledge, it's all about what you know, who you know, how you know it. But for Christ says, it's my love for you is beyond that. But you need to know it. It's important for us to want to know how much does Jesus love us. And the last part, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I thought this is amazing, where God says he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us with who he is. He wants to be completely inside of us. He doesn't say that you may be partially filled or a little bit filled. He says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. mean, how incredible is this, guys, that do we want all the fullness of God? He says, yes, he wants to give it to us. Now, if we can go to the next slide. When I read this in the Message Bible, it's generally the third or fourth reference you go to in the Bible to, because it's all paraphrased, but sometimes it's, they break it down so amazingly for us. They give it to us in such a sort of like a layman's term. And I just want to read this to you guys. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in what all followers of Christ, the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. You know, this is, it just really sums up everything we're trying to say. Everything those who heard Passion last night heard. You know, everything that the Lord is trying to do within us. I'm just going to piggyback a little bit on what Lou Guglia said last night for those that didn't hear. The core of his message was words. How certain words define us and how certain words bring out and changes a moment. And he highlighted one specific word, which is the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross, where he said, "It is finished." And he said, in Hebrew, it's actually just one word. So does some of the scholars here can correct me if I'm wrong. It's tetelestai. And that's the words that Jesus shouted out in the cross before he died. And that means it is finished. The veil torn in the temple. Religion was finished. The system was finished. All the things that keep us bondage, all the man-made, it was finished. With Jesus in our hearts, he moved from being in the cross to being inside of our hearts. And all these other things, it's finished. But the Lord is so graceful and he's so kind, he's so gentle. He doesn't force his way into you. He doesn't barge in. Hey, I'm in the house. He stands patiently outside the door until we, through faith, open the door. And then it's not immediate, it's not a reboot, you know, restart, and everything's perfect, you know. It's little by little by little by little, the Lord becomes bigger. He gets access to all the rooms. Is there rooms in our lives that's still not open to the Lord? Now, how irritating is that if you guys go to, I don't know if anybody's been like in a holiday home or you visited a place and you know, one or two of the doors are locked. You know, it's like, what is in there? I want to see it. Now imagine how Jesus feels, you know. Is there rooms inside of our life that's not open? That's, you know, what's inside there, guys? What's so bad? And, okay, sorry, Tiff, I know I'm most probably going to be short, but can I have the worship team back? Or at least one of you whose fingers are still not like spaghetti. I just want to share with you guys just a personal story. Like I said, today is just relaxed. I'm just sharing with you guys what the Lord's been placing in my heart. Part of my travels was I worked for an Arab owner in the Middle East and in a town called Aqaba in Jordania. Now, this is just to paint a picture. This is quite an interesting little piece of real estate. It's literally the town right next to Israel, on the corner of the Jordanian border. But there's a a sea that links up from the Dead Sea, from the Red Sea, called the Sea of Aqaba. But if you're standing in this town, Aqaba, you see Israel right there. You can actually see the country. And then you look to that direction and you see Egypt. And obviously you're standing inside of Jordan. And then you look down and you can see Saudi Arabia, like the border is also there. So it's this little, where everything comes together. And I had the privilege of going into Israel for a weekend. I had some friends that lived there. And ended up going to Jerusalem, to the old city. And at that stage, I was, I wasn't, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. You know him. The foundations are there. You know you're not walking in truth. You know you're walking in sin, but you try and justify it. It's fine. I'll be fine. So now we go to this place, and the first thing that happened, I don't know if anybody's been to Jerusalem before, but there's like 50 million tour guides that tackle you. That, you must do the tour with them. They're going to give you the best one, special prize, And we ended up just picking a random guy. And within the first, most probably 3 minutes, I realized I made a mistake, because this guy was a Palestinian guy giving me the Islam tour of Jerusalem. But it was too late. I had to go with it. And it's crazy. I didn't know there was so much Islam in Jerusalem. But So we ended up in what they call the Via Della Rosa, which is a road from the Sanhedrin to, I'm not sure which gate it was, but that led to Golgotha, where Jesus was eventually crucified. And it's called the Road of Death, or the Road of Blood. And as we were walking there, obviously the city's been destroyed how many times, so it's all replicated. But a lot of it is still from the original that was still there. And there's this little church they built on this road called the Church of Mother Mary. It's lots of, massively Catholic, and this guy took us inside. And it was amazing. There was no one there. People would come and sit there and spontaneously start singing to the Lord. And there was this woman that walked in and she started singing. I didn't recognize the language. It was crazy. It was like this voice just like pierced my heart. And all of a sudden I felt my chest sort of not being big enough for my heart. It's a weird, like, I can't explain it, but my heart just grew and it just became bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was like, oh, what's happening? And all of a sudden I just couldn't contain myself. I couldn't comprehend what was happening. I started crying, weeping. I ran out of this church. just picture this Palestinian guy and like some other non-believers. They're like, what's wrong with this guy? I'm bawling. I'm running out. I'm on the steps. There's thousands of people walking, and I'm shouting. I'm crying my heart out. And all of a sudden, I believe it was Jesus that spoke to me. I heard his voice in my mind. And you were saying, this is how much I love you. I'm just letting you experience just a fraction of how much I love you. And I had to bring you to the place where I spilled my blood for you 2,000 years ago, so that you can know that I forgave your sins. I forgave those things that you did then. I've forgiven what you've busy doing now. I forgave what you're going to do back then. You are forgiven. And I love you. But you need to know my love. Do you know my love? And this is the question I have for you guys this morning. Do you know Jesus' love? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know that you were forgiven? At that stage, I was a Christian of 27 years. I didn't believe I was forgiven. I didn't believe the Lord forgave me for the things I did. I thought I did abominable things. Things I could never share in public. But He said He forgave me. And He has forgiven you. And He has forgiven everybody that allows Him to be an inhabitant of his heart. That allows Him in. Is there still rooms in your home that are locked? That's not open. What's that we think we can't show it to anybody? We can't tell anybody. No. Jesus said, I've forgiven you. You are forgiven. Know my love. Know that I love you. Let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for, Lord, that I could just share this with my family, Lord, with my friends, Lord, with my community. Lord Jesus, and where we can just become quiet in that place and know that you love us, Lord Jesus, and that you want us to know your love. You want to be inside all of us. And just while everybody's eyes are closed, I just want to ask you guys by faith, because everything happens by faith, just while all the eyes are closed, that if you don't believe Jesus has forgiven you, if you believe He can't forgive you, if you don't know Jesus' love, I just want you just to raise your hand, and there's no one looking. It's between you and the Lord. I want you guys to be honest. If there's rooms that are not open, by faith, you need to open them. And it means maybe just sticking up your hand and putting it down again. That is faith. Doing something that's beyond yourself. Doing something that's beyond what we can comprehend. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for the hands, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for what you're doing inside of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you that you know, that we can know that you love us. Lord, that we need to know that you love us, that you have forgiven us, that we are forgiven. 2,000 years ago on that cross, you conquered sin. Tetelestai, it is finished. You have conquered it. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you.
Just with the eyes closed, I believe that is the powerful love of God. And yes, it's for us here today. But like last night's message was for the people there, but also for us today. I believe the message and the testimony of Chris's life is for us today, but also for maybe some of our loved ones. I believe God wants to extend that moment He had in Jerusalem with Chris. He wants to extend to loved ones of ours. So if there's somebody in your life that you are trusting God to have a similar experience, that God will come and rend somebody's heart, pierce their heart the way He did with Chris, the testimony that Chris had in his life, that moment, if you are trusting God for a moment like that in somebody else's life, be bold and stand with me. Stand up and just indicate that you are standing in the gap for somebody. And Chris is going to pray because he's got the testimony. What is a testimony? A testimony means do again. God, do again. The root word there means do again. And there's keys. And we're just going to ask that love that he explained, but that we cannot explain. He's going to pray that love pierce those hearts that you are standing up for in faith today.
Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as you stood in the gap for us, Lord, you became our proxy for sin. Lord Jesus, that each and every one of us can stand today because we know someone that don't know you, someone that's far away from you, someone that can't believe that you can forgive them, Lord, someone that is so deep in sin they can't see day or night. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can stand in the gap, Lord. Thank you that through faith we can initiate this process, Lord. Thank you that you use us. Thank you that you use us and the people around us' lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we are the tools that you have chosen to use in specific people's hearts, Lord Jesus, and lives. I truly want you guys just to, in faith this week, really lift up these people, pray for them. And if the Lord lays a word on your heart, to make contact with them. You know, whether it's a WhatsApp, a SMS, a wave across the, you know, to your neighbor, a phone call, a coffee. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can, that you can use us, Lord. Lord, that we can initiate this process. We can bring these petitions and prayers down from heaven to earth, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you intervened in my life. Where you intervened in my father's life. Where you can intervene in every single person's life. Lord, where they can, you don't have to take them to Jerusalem, Lord. That is just, that's the extreme you had to take me to because I didn't want to believe. But Lord, you can speak to every single person where they are right now. And because we need to know your love, we will experience your love. You will become an inhabitant of our hearts. And we can become like you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just agree and I thank you, Father, that everybody's awake. But I thank you, Father, that you're a good God. And the one that chases us and always finds us. Thank you, God, that you are the one that finds us. And Lord, everybody that we are standing up for, thank you that you will find those hearts. Thank you, Father God, for a perfect strike rate, if I may call it that. But thank you, Lord, that you will find those hearts. You will find those hearts. You will find those hearts. You will pierce them. And like Chris said, Lord, that faith will open those doors. Faith will open those doors. Faith will, in Jesus' name, open those doors. Thank you that we know this is more your will than it is ours. This is much more your will than what we're praying for. What we've seen in Chris's life, this is so much more your will, your heart, your love for these people than it is ours. Just in faith, just say boldly, aloud, an amen to God just for receiving that. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name.